and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily.
Oh, you got a squeaky voice.
Have I?
Yes.
Hello. No. It is me.
No, you're not Chinese now, or Oriental. Hello, Mike.
Hello, mate.
Seems to be the Conrad and Mike show these days.
Conrad and Mike. Mike and Conrad. They are singing and stuff on the show.
That's squeaky. We need people to record content.
We do.
You don't need us to do it. Just go away and do it. Anyway, enough of that.
Yes. So what are we talking about today?
Warhammer.
More importantly,
Warhammer.
The End Times.
Are we talking about the End Times?
Well, it depends which rumours you believe.
Yeah, there's... I noticed today on the Bowls, Wargaming News...
Bell of Lost Souls, yes. For those of you who don't understand what Conrad means when he says balls.
I didn't say balls, I said balls.
He said balls!
Ninth edition, Warhammer Fantasy Battle.
Yeah, I saw this yesterday. I tweeted with a couple of people. It all seems very exciting.
Well, they've just released the Nagash stuff, haven't they? The end times, as you said, the whole Nagash sort of. Is it a two set book or something?
I don't know. It's £50.
Is it? And it's sold out.
But it excited me reading about it and seeing all the pictures and things, because it's sort of moving the whole Warhammer World story on in a way that actually affects the game.
Okay, I didn't actually realize. I've not followed fantasy for... I see the new releases, you know, in terms of the big model kits and go, oh, they're very fancy and they're going to be hard to store in a carry case, and that's that sort of thing. And they look, I mean, the plastics look impressive as usual from GW. I mean, but when the Gash came out, I thought, I wonder if you can get a tennis ball in that rounded bit at the bottom for some reason. but there you go.
You're odd.
They're impressed, but I have not. I wanted to try 8th out just for the hell of it, but I don't want to put any effort into it. So it would be more a case of somebody.
You want to rock up somewhere and just play.
Yeah, and somebody shows me what to do, and I have to roll some dice, you know, and take it from there. I don't want to put any effort into it because
that's pretty much how I play Warhammer.
Which does show that I've still got an interest in, you know, mass battle fantasy gaming.
Yeah.
Such. And let's face it, you know, I've been playing since. I can't really say that now. I have played every edition up to 7th edition. So that's including 1st. And 8th, I was sad not to play it, but I just came to the conclusion I don't want to invest any more time in it. And money, because let's face it, you know, GW's prices are competitively overpriced. They're priced, you know, they're priced as a business to make a profit.
Yeah, they're more expensive than certain other things.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But and the other thing is I didn't want to invest any more time and money into making these huge sort of 1 foot by whatever, 3/4 foot wide units of infantry, which just seemed to be ridiculous. I remember seeing at the club a huge unit of zombies, and it was literally, it looked like about 1 foot wide by about 8 inches wide. And I said that, you know, we were 2 hours into the gaming, the club session, and I said to them,
it's our friends.
I will switch that down now. I said, why does this always happen? I said,
it's our friend. He knows we're recording.
I bet you anything, Mike, the house phone rings in a few minutes.
See, I hid all that in today's episode with a lovely TARDIS sound.
Oh, I haven't heard today's one. Yeah, what did I tell you? Just hold on a minute.
And he's back.
It wasn't the gardener.
Oh, well.
As I was saying, when we were so rudely interrupted, I went over to the table and I said, how far has that unit moved? And the guy basically said it's wheeled about an inch all game.
Yeah, see, that's certainly not how we play when we play Warhammer, because we play sort of, yay, bundle. But I know what you mean about big units. I mean, if I look over at my Skaven army, my big clan rat units are 50 models. They're 10 wide and 5 deep.
Yeah, I mean, we used to come from what? I suppose Undead were the biggest units and Skaven.
Yeah.
But when I was running my Dwarf army, you'd be looking at 20, 24 possibly, 20, you know.
Yeah, my Skaven units used to be 25 squares, 5x5. But now they are 50s. And one of the things that annoys me, and one of the only good things, I think, about Mantic's Kings of War rules is it's still a game where you take off individual character, models.
Mantic is?
No,
GW,
no,
sorry, yeah. Because I picked
Mantic,
up on that.
Kings of War, you don't. Kings of War, your unit remains the same. You know, each unit is effectively a thing. Now, you could argue that that's just the same as playing a skirmish game then. But,
well, from a visual aesthetics point of view, no, it isn't. Because essentially that unit has, I don't know what you call it, an attrition rate before it either becomes less effective or is removed completely from play, sort of thing, I'm guessing. So I think that's the good
one. It does mean that you can go to town on modelling them up. And it speeds up, especially in a tournament type thing, it speeds up time between games. You don't have to rebuild these big units.
Yeah, so you can use unit fillers and so it becomes quite a hobby type thing as well.
Visually appealing. But certainly the games of 8th I've played, I've enjoyed. Because I don't care about like the big spells and things that people care about, and if you want to bring loads and loads of heroes and stuff, that's fine. I'm only there for one Sunday afternoon a month and roll bucket loads of dice for a couple of hours and then go home again.
I mean, one of my friends plays 8th and he loves it. He said it's the best edition of Warhammer that he's ever played. And I've heard that, you know, from both tournament players and casual players. So I kind of regret not being involved in it, but at the same time, I've also had lots of fun with the other game systems I'm playing, and I've still got a few of my army, so the intention was to eventually drop into Rob's War and Conquest set of... Yeah, it's War and Conquest, isn't it? Set of rules when he sort of pushed out the fantasy freebies that he was meant to be doing, but I haven't got round to that yet, and I think there's a sort of trial version out on the Scarab website. But the 9th, you know, when a new edition comes out for Fantasy, it will always pique my interest, basically based on the fact that, you know, I'm still invested in the game, irrespective of the fact that I don't play it. I am still invested in it. And I think ultimately I'm looking at a way of potentially dropping back into playing it, or off and on even, at the very least.
Yeah. Yeah, and so the Nagash stuff seems to have moved the storyline forward, because Nagash is back.
He hasn't got a silly hat.
He hasn't got a silly hat, and he's huge. He makes one of your colossals look small.
Have you seen it in the flesh, then?
I've seen pictures of it with other models around it.
Actually, he has got a bit of a silly hat, but it's just not as silly as it used to be.
But no, he is... He is very, very large.
So, 9th edition, they're talking about this happening this year.
Well, this is the rumours that sort of... They've been circulating for a little while, and they sort of picked up speed recently, that there's going to be a big announcement in a couple of weeks' time. The 20th seems to be the date that gets the most...
September, this is, we're talking, isn't it?
Yep. Yes, yes. With the pre-orders going up on the 13th, now, which is a Saturday, because it's a week tomorrow. And the rumour is that you're going to get Warhammer 9th edition. And it will be branded as Warhammer End of Times. Now, whether it's a new, it is actually a new edition of Warhammer, or it's, you know, a supplement a la Apocalypse or something, no one knows. But if you look at the Games Workshop website, they're definitely going all out with the Warhammer The End Times branding. You know, not just on the Nagash stuff. So it's a sort of imply there is something happening.
Yeah. And GW seem to be, I've noticed over the few years since I've been away from the sort of GW mainstay hobby, is that they creep something up on you. In a very short space of time, you sort of get these sort of teasers, as it were, and then boom. And it's usually over a period of a couple of weeks only as well.
Yeah, well, since they went to a weekly release schedule, they seem to have got very good at things just turning up and appearing. Now, I mean, we should be seeing pictures of this week's White Dwarf. I'm surprised we haven't seen them today, and they normally have pictures of the next goodies to come out. So, well, it will all be known soon, but some of the rumours, I think, are very interesting.
Yes, so...
that they're talking
about.
You
know, with a lot of the old guard having gone, apart from, I'm guessing, Jervis, really, there are indications that this is a rewrite from the ground up, which, for some of us who were involved with the playtesting... as you and I have been in the past, in previous editions, was something that had been bandied about, certainly from a, you know, from an enthusiast's point of view, that the GW game system, specifically Warhammer, was antiquated as such. But I personally thought it fitted a niche, you know.
I can't honestly see them them going to a completely new type of game.
Because I've heard things about, you know, something as silly as it's going to be a skirmish game.
I have heard that one. I've heard that unit sizes will go down so that the entry cost becomes less.
Because I think that's one of the problems with the game, is that it's a rich man's game. But that's wargaming in general to a certain extent.
Yeah, it's certainly a longer-term investment game. I tend to agree with that. I mean, if they can bring army sizes down so that you can play smaller size skirmishes while getting into it, so you don't have to go the whole hog before you can start playing properly, then that would be great. The rules that they've put into Nagash would suggest that that's possibly not going to happen.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, the changes that they put into Nagash, because it's the end times, it's basically putting the more focus onto the heroes.
Okay, yeah. So we're going for the cinematic, epic feel then at that point. Yeah.
Yes, which is really what they've always wanted to do. But they've never really written rules that match the majesty of two full armies clashing against each other.
Well, fantasy gaming for me has always been Battle of the Five Armies from The Hobbit. That's my original concept of fantasy battle, mass fantasy battle gaming is my vision, my personal vision. Obviously, you know, everyone's got their own sort of references, as it were, but that's something that's always stayed with me ever since I was a small little boy, as it were, first starting out. One of the things that kind of makes me sort of agree with what you're saying about the smaller armies is the fact that they're talking about potentially, or sorry, rumours are saying that there are going to be rules in there for multiplayer battles. Now, if you have multiplayer battles with armies of different races that sort of fit into, because the other thing I've seen is that, you know, the army books are going to go away. You're going to have sort of,
yeah, I mean, that to me is the big
that's
one, given
a
that the
huge
elves just
thing,
came out.
Yeah.
Now, they have done it once before.
Yeah, originally, didn't they? They just had Ravening Hordes out before they redid the army books.
And was it the transition from...
Fourth, was it? Or fifth?
No, it was the transition from fifth to sixth. Mm. Six was the first one we worked on, wasn't it? That was the one that Tumas wrote.
Yes.
Right, and that's where it got reset to Ravening Hordes, and all of the army books previous to that were invalidated.
Yeah, we had the list, didn't we?
We had the little list. So yeah, so it's they have done it before. I find it hard to believe that they'll do it now. But I mean, the rumor is that they're going to reduce the number of army books that there are into, and this may, and it may be that this is just it runs alongside. That you can get a combined, you know, these combined forces. Because I know if you look at what they did with 40K, they brought in new org charts that basically said, if you want to do, I think they call it an unbound army.
Yeah.
Basically, buy what toys you want, and there are rules that enable you to play with them. So if you really like, I don't know, Tau battle suits, and you want to have them with some Elder jet bikes, then do it.
Yep.
Here's some rules to it. Now, if they do that with Warhammer, that would be very cool. Because, you know, their whole prime reason for having rules is to sell kits. I mean, you know, they're a toy soldier manufacturer that happens to have a set of rules that goes with it.
Because they're sort of talking about version 9 army books being Ancient Kingdoms, which sort of covers Lizardmen, High Elves, Wood Elves, Dwarves, Tomb Kings, Servants of the Dark Gods, which is Warriors of Chaos, Demons of Chaos, Beastmen, Skaven Dark Elves, and the Old World Denizens, which is Empire, Bretonnia, Orcs and Goblins, Ogre Kingdoms, Vampire Counts. I don't know if that will happen or not, but I mean, if some of these rumours are true, then they're certainly looking at a big, you know, particularly large shake-up.
Yeah, and you know, maybe it is. I mean, if we talked in a previous show about their financial results, and the stuff that I've heard from the few people that I still know inside is that it is the Warhammer side of the shop that is letting the numbers down. That's where you're seeing the decline, because you have to have so many figures. Even in plastic, they cost quite a lot.
Well, if they've actually understood this from a, you know, from a marketing point of view, and from adjusting the financials and business strategy, then it's a good thing. But it's going to take. Yeah. 2 to 3 years to sort it out, and if
but is it their release schedule is so fast?
Well, if it's going to match it, then that's great.
You know, I mean, if they do these four rumored conglomeration books, and they can get them out within a year. I mean, their release schedule really is that fast these days.
Yeah, I mean, they've been looking for design game designers. There's all sorts of things like that that are sort of going on to potentially back up some of these rumours anyway.
Yeah.
Unless they're bringing back Mordheim, Necromunda and Epic.
Well, they're turning those into video games.
Well, that's a good use of IP as far as I'm concerned.
It is. But, I mean, I think overall what I have to say is I'm really quite excited.
What about over Warhammer? Hey! I am excited. I am excited about the fact that I like to see what's going on still, you know.
Yeah.
I still walk over to the fantasy tables. I still walk over to the 40K tables at the club, and it's still, you know, it's still, people are still having fun with the game, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, I've sold all of my fantasy battle armies off, apart from my
Spaceship. All of them?
Yes.
I still have my dwarves, I still have my beastmen, and I still have my undead, and I still have my chaos demons.
No, I've sold them all off. The only thing I have is Skaven, but I do have quite a lot of them.
I mean, I think I would like to just keep my dwarves at the end of the day.
Yeah, and it's, but I am excited for it going forward, and I think, you know, if half the rumors are true, then it's going to be very exciting. I'm certainly going to be keeping, it certainly means I'm going to keep an eye on the Games Workshop.
I mean, what are you thinking? 70, 100 quid? I mean, all their stuff, all their new release stuff has been, you know, special release, leather bound, you know, all numbered, whatever. It's all been sort of collectible. So I'm guessing that they're going to do similar sort of stuff.
I would think it's likely to be that sort of price point. And a starter box as well. And, you know, I would probably buy the starter box.
And it's imminent as well. Oh, well. Well, there you go.
Yeah. So they're meanderings and ramblings about nothing, something we don't actually know anything about. But
nothing.
We've managed to talk for a little while.
nothing new there.
No, it isn't really. I mean, wait till they hear the next episode. So, until that portentous episode, I've been Mike.
And I've been Conrad.
Bye. Bye. You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're at Fools_Daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.